This is the Father Matters Show with your host, Vance Sims. Father Matters is committed to building stronger, healthier communities by supporting, encouraging, and enlightening today's fathers and families. And now, your host, Vance Sims.
Welcome to the Father Matters Show. I'm your host, Vance Sims. Thank you for joining us on Faith Talk 1360 KPXQ. If you have not yet partnered with Father Matters, would you please consider becoming a Father Matters partner? The Father Matters Show is listener supported, and all Father Matters programs and services are free to the community because of your generous donations. For more information about donating to Father Matters, log on to fathermatters.org and click the Donate to Father Matters icon. Last month, we had Stu Burns from Bank of America, and we were talking about starting off the new year with savings accounts and goals and financial goals. And the emails and website and phone calls just blew up because we had a ton of calls and questions about tax season coming up. So I emailed Stu, said, Stu, you've got to come back on the show next month, meaning this month in March, and let's talk about taxes, because this is what the people want to hear. And we're right around 3 weeks away from what, April 15th is tax time. Absolutely. So we're about 3 weeks away. And back again is special guest Stu Burns from Bank of America. Stu, welcome back to the Father Matters Show, bro. Thank you for coming back. Let's jump into some taxes.
Yeah.
Why is it important for people to gather all their information together for taxes?
Yeah. Yeah, glad to be here.
Yes.
Let's take a higher look at it to start with. Like, what is this whole thing about taxes? Why should we pay them too? But as you know, it's biblically based. Even to start with, we have Matthew 22:17-21, and that's the famous confrontation with the Pharisees trying to trap Jesus and say, should we pay taxes or not? You know, basically in my own words. And then Jesus, you know, he gets the coin. He says, you know, whose inscription is this? This is Caesar's. So give to Caesar what is Caesar, and God's what is God's. But there's also other references in the Bible, too, that would give us some direction that, you know, even though it's something that we don't like to do, the Bible does give us directions that we should be doing it. Another one is actually Romans 13:6-7, where Paul is actually in agreement more or less with Matthew there, 22:17-21. But Paul says, this is why you pay taxes. Give to everyone what you owe them. If it's taxes, give them taxes. If it's revenue, revenue. If it's honor, honor. And so forth. So if it's respect, respect. So, you know, there's kind of a biblical kind of placement there that tells us that we are supposed to do it, even though if it is sometimes looks like a bad word there. We should do it. So, yeah, let's jump in and let's look at some ways, though, to make this easier and how people can get prepared, though, for this.
Hit it back. Hit it hard. Which one way we should get prepared?
Yeah. One of the first ones, by getting organized. So that's one of the best things you can do is, you want, number one, if you're getting a refund, you're going to want to get the best refund possible. Because, you know, going through the process is what you have to do. And the government has already, you know, established standards. So it doesn't necessarily mean that we've already given the government during the year. But now that refund is saying you gave us too much. So I think that's also in accordance with, you know, what we just discussed on the scriptures, too. So if you get a bigger refund, then that's good, too. But some of the things that like my wife and I do is that we also we keep a database and a spreadsheet, with our budget. So this is getting back to part of even what we discussed last month in the mm-hmm. State of the Union. But we're pretty organized where we have our budget, and it goes right into a sheet where we can actually print out right away all of our medical expenses for the year, any kind of tax payments, meaning different things that you pay taxes on, the car, the house, and so forth. And then also all of your charitable giving. So you can actually write those off if you itemize as well. So this gives us the information quickly, and it keeps it very organized if you have a database going like that.
But let's break down this database, this spreadsheet, because you brush right over it. I'm with you. My wife and I do that at our home as well. But let's stress the importance of this. Like you said, we have kids at the house. Man, mm-hmm. we've been to the doctor appointments, visits 8, 9, 10, 12 times this year. We've got prescriptions. We've got medication. And people don't realize they just get those receipts and just throw them in the trash and say, well, I got my medicine for my child or children, or I got it for myself. It's important to add that to that spreadsheet that you have or your database.
Exactly.
What is the database? What is this? Does it have to be a computer?
No, not at all. That's the way that we do it. We do it through basically Excel, and then we use the Access program.
They could use envelopes as well, right?
Yep. But that's something we're pretty comfortable with. So if you're not comfortable with using something like that, you could do the simple envelope system.
Yeah.
So put all of your copays, all of your payments for prescriptions, like you were mentioning, into a specific envelope. So have one name medical. Right. You could even have your canceled checks if you needed to. Put those into another one that says taxes. So you can do it in different ways. And again, it's kind of like the overall budget. This is meant to be personal. It's meant to be something that fits, your specific needs and what you have available at the time. But again, it doesn't have to be, only on a spreadsheet. That just, it's a good way with technology to make it very organized. But if you do it in the envelopes, that could make you very organized as well. So whatever you need to do though, to get it organized, and like you're saying, don't miss out on any of those and forget, that, if you went to the doctor and you paid like 10 copays during the year. Yeah, you want to make sure you have all those.
Even if you're a homeowner, people who replace the garbage disposal, you fix the window in the home, your sprinkler systems, is that all considered a write-off?
So some of that is. Sometimes, with the home, that can go into also when you're selling the house and so forth.
Okay.
But during the year, I haven't seen that part being able to be written off, but things like the medical for sure, taxes that you've paid for different things like your mortgage and those kind of things can be written off.
Okay.
Yeah. So the next one going along the lines with that, you'd want to make sure that you have, the proper forms that you need. And that's starting to gather the forms, meaning like your W-2s, just to show your income, any interest gained, you may get a form for that as well from your bank, and then also you're gonna want to have both of those so that you can itemize into the specific areas, like they say, your total income, your withholding. So that's why you want your W-2, and then you could also have some other things like. Also saving for your kids' college and things like that
that's
go
right
into
off.
That W-2 form. Yeah, because a lot of people at work have that going right into the college education fund for your children. So you're going to want to have those kind of forms you need. I'm trying to think of some other ones like the
stock.
You could have the stocks if you sold any, and then also your mortgage, mm-hmm. The interest that you've paid. So these are forms that you should know that you're going to need to just get started to begin with. Taxes, actually you can write off your car. Like when you take your car in and get new tags each year, that's a write-off.
Okay.
So you're going to want to have things like that. And then, your mortgage as well. So you don't want all of those forms just to basically set the groundwork for you to be able to fill out everything, too.
And April 15th, how important is it to make sure you get your taxes done before April 15th or by April 15th?
Yeah, it's really important because you don't want to actually get to that April 15th deadline and either not have them done or have requested an extension, mm-hmm. So that the government pretty much knows what to expect from you. because at that point, then, the government will start charging interest and things like this.
So any refund you could have had coming, the interest, the fees that they're charging can come out of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And talk about filing an extension, because a lot of people are like, what's filing an extension?
Yeah, you're able to if you know that you're not going to have your taxes prepared. The government does allow you to file an extension, which is just basically telling them that you're going to have to go over that April 15th deadline. And then you can, as long as you file that, you're going to be okay to fit within the timelines.
Okay, so it's very important that we stick to that.
Yep.
And then what happens now, Stu, because a lot of people saying I'm getting $3,000 back, I'm getting $8,000 back, I'm getting $5,000 back. That can kind of go back to the show that you just did last month about saving, because some people say, I got my taxes back, I want to buy a boat, I want to get back in debt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great great point, too, because just because you get a few thousand back or, you know, whatever you get back, doesn't necessarily mean that you should go ahead and just run out and go through it right away. You know, you should, you know, be pretty thoughtful about it, whether you want to put that in. Maybe you're paying down your mortgage with it. You know, there's a lot of different things that you could be doing with that money. So rather than maybe necessarily going out and buying that big screen TV,
right,
you could be looking at something better, or even a down payment for a car, which means that you are taking on more debt maybe on top of that.
And also I have, you know, friends that, myself included, we have children in child care. People are not thinking about the child care write-off. Can you touch on that a little bit?
Yeah, that's absolutely one of those big things with getting organized, because it's, you know, if you're paying for that, the government's going to allow you so much to get back for, you know, paying for child care.
Right.
So that's a good one for you to write off. So that's what the next thing that gets into the whole point of educating yourself about your deductions. So that's where you really want to get into that, because that's a big one right there for a lot of parents, you know, would be child care. Some other ones that I kind of mentioned are taxes, paying on the car, that I kind of discussed. A lot of people wouldn't necessarily think about that. Homeowners, you know the value of your mortgage, but you basically want to make sure that you're deducting the amount you paid in interest each year, because that can be pretty sizable. So let's say if you paid $6,000. On a mortgage, on a 30-year mortgage, you know, in the beginning, you know, over $5,000 of that's probably going to be interest. So you can write off a sizable chunk of that.
And that's what I want to do right there, because we're about to go into the commercial break, but I do want to talk about homeowners, because when you invest into a home, you're living in your investment. And that's great about having that write-off, not living above your means. But I want to get back on that when we get back. You're listening to the Father Matter Show with Vance Sims. And today's guest is Stu Burns, and we're discussing tax time. Stu Burns is from Bank of America, and we will hear more from Stu after this. Are you in need of family law legal services? Contact fathermatters.org. Our purpose is to provide free legal assistance services to fathers and their families. Remember, you have the right to see your children, and no parent can take that right away from you. Being responsible financially for your children is required by law, but even parents without financial means have the right to see their children. Don't let a legal matter stop you from being an excellent and involved parent. For more information about free family law legal services, log on to fathermatters.org. That's fathermatters.org. Welcome back to the Father Matters Show. Mark your calendar for April 6th for our Job and Training Institute. Stu Burns and Anthony Jones, both representatives of Bank of America, they always come and do a session at our Father Matters Job and Training Institute, and it is very, very powerful. April 6th, mark your calendar, log on to fathermatters.org for more information. You can come and ask Stu any and all the questions you want. If you're just tuning in, you can catch the top of the show at fathermatters.org. Also catch the Father Matters Show nationally every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Mountain Standard Time by logging on to blogtalkradio.com, or catch our archive shows anytime worldwide at soundcloud.com. Stu, I know I had to cut you off before the commercial break, but I want to just unpack a little bit about home ownership, because I have friends that, you know, I own a home. You own a home. I have friends that own a home, but some of them are in too much home, but still. What's awesome about paying your mortgage, the fact that you can write off that interest. Can you unpack that a little bit before we hit these other questions?
Yeah, absolutely. When you the government basically gives you a standard deduction. So whether you're filing jointly or jointly with your spouse, or whether you're filing individually, you're entitled to a certain amount of a deduction. And if you choose to itemize, though, some of these things really apply to that. Like when you're writing off medical, some of the taxes. What you're doing when you're itemizing then is you're breaking it down into those little subgroups, like you just mentioned. So that's where it becomes important, because when you itemize, then your mortgage can become a pretty significant one. So let's say, you know, in that example that we talked about, let's say your standard deduction's $10,000 and you're already up to over $5,000 on your mortgage, you can already be making a substantial dent into that. So that when you start adding everything else up, that's going to go over, and that's where you get a refund.
Yeah.
Yeah, to put it in simple terms.
And then if you're a renter, you know, this might be a good opportunity to consider buying if you're getting a nice sizable tax returns, you know.
Yeah.
What about filing online now, Stu? All the technology, mm-hmm. a lot of people don't like to go being in person. How can we – let's unpack filing online for this year.
Yeah, that's you see a lot of ads out there now, and a lot of different companies that are actually offering to do it, and some are even free. So if you file online and you do, you know, the e-filing, it's going to save you time, and it's also going to get you the money back probably faster than it normally would have, and they can put it right into your checking account or savings account, however you want it. But there's a lot of different companies out there that offer you know, programs, TurboTax, H&R Block. You know, some of the big ones.
Do you recommend filing online, or
I would just for like getting the refund back if you're getting a refund and things like that, mm-hmm. just to get it faster.
Is it hard? Pretty simple.
Yeah, and some of these companies actually, because they have the program set up that you go through, uh-huh. some of the companies even put a little bit of a guarantee with it. So it takes you step by step through all of those things that we're discussing, like the itemizations and
yeah.
So it makes it pretty easy, as long as you're not paying too much. So that's what you'd have to consider, is if you're paying for or if it's free. And then if it has a decent program that's going to take you through, you know, step by step.
So basically research before you jump on the first one, because they, like you said, there's 5, 6, 7 of them
yep.
out there. What about our friends who are self-employed? Because a lot of them just really, this is the time of the year. But see, just because you're self-employed, just because April 15th is tax time, mm-hmm. that's not tax time for everybody.
Right.
What about our self-employed?
Yeah. A lot of people that are self-employed are paying either quarterly or paying the taxes, you know, during the year as well. Mm-hmm. But what's a good thing, though, is if you are getting into a complex situation where you're self-employed, or if you've, let's say, done a lot of trading, stocks, things like that, to where it starts getting a little more complex than you'd really like to handle, then at that point it's where, you know, I pretty much would advise that you may want to seek a professional out. Because normally if it's pretty basic filing, just yourself, your wife, not too many, you know, complex variables, should be able to handle it yourself. But sometimes, you know, for you to be able to look at all the breaks, you're going to want to seek a tax professional.
Yeah. But one thing we was talking about, we were stressing about this too from last month's show. I know I'm keep going back to that. We got a lot of questions for that. What are some banking tips? I know you will, Bank of America have an awesome website. Can you touch on mm-hmm. some banking tips? Because one thing I hate is when I hear friends who've got $7,000, $9,000, they're ready to go to Hawaii. It's like, you haven't even paid off Christmas yet. What are some banking tips to prepare for this, Stu?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's one of the things, especially, you know, in a case if you're self-employed, or you know that you're already, like, some parents actually go ahead and they put themselves right on the edge, knowing that they're getting more upfront money right now, but they know that come tax time, it could go either way if they're going to get a refund or owe money.
Right.
So I would advise, you know, keeping that, you know, maybe part of your savings and start you know, during the year, just prepare and just know from your prior experience, you know, whether you've changed anything as far as your deduction amounts and, you know, if you're planning, if everything went the same course, would you be getting a refund or are you going to be pretty far, you know, away from a refund and owe the government money?
Because I like how you said that, how you file your deductions, because like you said, some people, when tax time come, it don't matter because the way they have it set up, they either owe or they may only see $200, $300, but they... but they get most of their money every week, every month. And then there are some people who just struggle all year long, mm-hmm. and they say, I'm getting $10,000 back. But they finance their whole life that whole year.
Yeah. That's what, especially when you're talking about like getting those refunds back. That's one thing. Like if you are, if you know that you have pushed it, like up to the limit, but you're still getting a refund back as well. One of the things you're going to want to do is to budget that money out then throughout the year, put it in maybe like a savings account, somewhere that's pretty liquid, that you can be tapping into it, each month. You know, I would recommend not putting it in your checking account to where, you know, just because we know a majority of buying is impulse buying. So you don't want to put yourself in that position. So put it in savings because then at least you have to think about it maybe before you, you know, make that purchase.
And also think about things like you're going to need car repairs.
Mm-hmm.
That's also, I mean, for my home, that's what we do. When we get our taxes, we get returns. We first budget to say, let's get the cars tuned up.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get ready, especially here in Arizona. April 15th is already 112 degrees outside.
Yeah.
You know, get everything checked, your hoses, your battery, because no one has money in August. No one has money in October. No one has money out the blue in December for a $250 car repair that could have been an $80 fix if you do constant maintenance on your vehicles, constant maintenance on your home. You know, we're not really mm-hmm. thinking about things like that. We just drive our cars until they break down, and then when you got to do a $400, $600, $700 repair, well, this is a piece of junk. I'm just going to get another car. No, what you just did was refinance yourself back into another loan.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a good point because it's like if you know life's going to happen, so you really want to be cognizant. You know, put some of that, do something with that money. You know, if you want to take a part of it, you know, maybe – if there's something you've been wanting, you know, there's nothing wrong with that, you know, if you budget it out. But, you know, take you know, maybe a good chunk of that money, put it, do either, like, savings, invest it. But you know that something's going to happen during the year
sure.
that you probably are going to need some money. And, you know, and that's a good way also to start your emergency fund. So you could put, you know, just a certain percentage, you know, of the money, let's say even 10% of your money, 10%, you know, tithing, 10% into savings.
And why not, Stu, not to cut you off, why not say, hey, for going into next Christmas and the Christmas after that, we are only spending as a family, hey, $300, $500, maybe $1,000 or $100. And instead of worrying about, well, I got to give the cousins, the grandparents, you don't have to do everything or something for everybody. Draw names out of a hat. Because I'm tired of hearing people feeling good and from November, end of November to Christmas time. And then when January, February hit, you're talking about depression. Mm-hmm. You ran a credit card for $4,300 because you had to get everybody something. Make a cash budget and say, first, we're going to pay off what we got in debt for last year and the year before.
Yeah.
And then just say, hey, I'm sorry, everybody, we don't have it. But see, when Christmas is over and you stuck to your budget, it's all paid for. Cash, it's paid for. Where can our listeners go to learn more and get some banking tips about Bank of America, Stu, and all that you share with them, besides the Father Matters website, because your articles that you submit?
Yeah, most of the banks, too, like some of the forms we've been discussing, like your 1098 for mortgage interest, a lot of banks like B of A will provide that online for you. So you can get these things very quickly if you do online banking. But I'm sure all the other major banks do the same thing. So one of the places to go, though, just to learn about that, and also a lot of other tips for managing your money, Bank of America is actually partnered with the Khan Academy, and we have some collection of videos called Better Money Habits. So what I would advise people to do is go out to www.bettermoneyhabits.com. And again, these are just little educational videos that are have been put together on a variety of topics, including home, buying homes, buying cars, anything you can think of.
Give me that website one more time.
Yep. www.bettermoneyhabits.com. And again, that's with the Khan Academy that we've done partnered with.
Join us April 6th. Ask Stu all the questions you want. He will be at the Father Matters Job and Training Institute. Log on to fathermatters.org for more information. Stu, thank you for joining me today, my friend. I appreciate you. Thank you for tuning into the Father Matters Show. Send us your questions or comments to info@fathermatters.org. Once again, come see Stu live at the Father Matters Job and Training Institute, April 6th. Log on to fathermatters.org, I meant to say. See you next week. Same time, same place. Have a safe week. Thank you, and God bless.